Oh, didn't get enough sleep. Hey, look, you got an extra hour sleep last night, didn't you? Oh, in fact, if you were to look at the clock back there, it looks like my preaching time is done. Wouldn't you all like that? Amen? Huh? Amen. Turn back those clocks. You know, I think maybe the preacher wanted me to be here because I think there was some roasted pig yesterday. I think they got beat pretty bad, didn't they? He didn't want you all to give him a hard time, I think. Amen. Now, my wife is sitting up front here, so that way she can go when it's time to get out of here. She can give me this sign here. And I know Brother Rich is here with us. I'm so glad to see Rich and Grace. Rich spoke at Community Baptist Church, one of his first times speaking at a church. I think we were your first church. And he said he was so nervous, and he did a fantastic job. Well, kind of. No, I'm kidding. He did a great job. He really did a fine job. But I'll tell you, I'm nervous. You know, I think a preacher, when they get behind the pulpit, should be nervous. We should be nervous. And I'm so thankful Pastor Riggs has allowed me this opportunity to speak to you here this morning. It truly is an honor. I thank him. But you know what, church family, we need to pray for him and his family as they are traveling this week. They're visiting some family, and you know he puts a lot of hours in for Town East and for the Lord, and I think he deserves to go visit some family. Amen. And so, Pastor, thank you for this opportunity, and we will be praying for you. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, the Word of God, it tells us here, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the word of God, it says here, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I know you guys are trying to keep up. You just have to take notes of the scriptures. Acts chapter 20, verse 8. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flocks over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You think we're getting a theme here? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The power of the blood. The power of the blood. If you have your Bibles with you today, and I certainly hope that you do, being here in church, please take God's word. Please open it to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, I want you to turn those pages to chapter 26, a familiar passage to many of us. And here in a moment, we'll be reading our text passage and our text verses. We'll begin in verse 17. I really appreciate a good hearty amen when you are there to Matthew chapter 26. For those of you that are not familiar with the Bible, that's the very first gospel book in the New Testament. Amen. Somebody, I think it was Pastor, asked Wednesday, what's gospel mean? What is it? Good news. And we can find the good news in the Word of God, can't we? All right. We're going to drop down starting in verse 17. In God's Word, it says here, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Verse 19, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Verse 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Our text verses are coming up here. Verse 26, it says, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. But look here at 27 and 28 where it says, And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Verse 29, But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Jesus, your Son, died upon that cross for us. We do truly realize and understand that there is power in his blood. I pray for this service. I pray that someone's heart will be convicted, and that if there is anyone, just one amongst us, who does not call you their God, does not have you in their heart, that they may come forward and receive that precious gift of eternal life. Be with me as I speak these words that you've laid upon my heart. We pray for our pastor and his family as he travels. We pray for others who may not be here amongst us today. We truly do love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm the guest speaker, and Pastor really did not give me a time limit, so just know that I have 6 points. We can make it 6 quick points and get to Texas Roadhouse, where Russ is buying everybody a steak. Or Russ may ask us to take a little longer so we don't get to Texas Roadhouse where he buys everybody a steak. Amen. 6 points, they shall flow rather easily. You know, Jesus has gathered his disciples together for the Last Supper. We know this passage connected to the Last Supper. And as these men gather around him, he holds up the cup, begins to explain that His blood is the new covenant. You know what? And he tells us that his blood is sufficient. Oh, thankfully it is, isn't it? You know, whereas the blood of goats and bulls, you know, for 4,000 years has not met the requirements for the fulfilling of the law. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm glad we don't have to fulfill the law, because none of us would ever get into heaven. We couldn't do it. We can't do it. There's one sinless man who died upon that cross for you and for me. See, his blood is sufficient. This is what he was talking about when he said that he had to come to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. By the way, we don't just throw the Old Testament away, folks. That is a guideline for us. I don't know why so many doctrines and so many places just don't think that they have to refer to the Old Testament. I'm thankful that we have a pastor who preaches from the Old Testament. But he did come to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. See, and Jesus, he even informs us of this in Matthew chapter 5, where he says there in verse 17, think not that I come to destroy the law. See, he tells us that, or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, what's that last 3 words say? But to fulfill. And we know that that's Jesus speaking because we see that beautiful red lettering, right? See that one, that he, in one selfless, in one loving act, would do what no other sacrifice had been able to do, and would begin a new covenant with the God, with our God of creation. A blood covenant that if anyone, if you here today would trust in the power of this blood, that you would receive redemption, atonement, healing, protection, deliverance, strength, transformation. Church, there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Power to take away the sins of this world. That was the introduction, amen. My first thought this morning, his blood has the power to redeem. Now, I wish I could be one of those preachers that has that singing voice that could sing when we got a great hymn. I want people to stay in the service, not exit the doors by mass, okay? But think of this song, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child forever I am. And that's a beautiful song, by the way. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it reminds us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You know, folks, I already said this, the law was hard. It was hard. It was almost a curse upon mankind. Nobody, absolutely nobody, could be pure enough, good enough, holy enough to obey the entire law. The law held men in bondage and showed every imperfection in humanity. And by the way, we are an imperfect people. But you know what? The blood of Christ freed us from the curse of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. My friends, oh my sweet, sweet friends, the law had no completion. Today a lamb, tomorrow a dove, next week a goat, the following week maybe a bull. You see, it never stopped, constantly trying to cover the sins of a nation. The priest had to enter the Holy of Holies once a year, every year, to sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. One cry from Jesus. One cry from Jesus, and God was no longer separated from man by a veil. Oh, think of this, as he cried out, you know these words, it is finished. The veil was torn from top to bottom, and now man could be redeemed. Could be redeemed by the new covenant of the blood of Jesus. Now man is no longer separated from the presence of God by this blood. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 16 through 19, it states, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And verse 19, having therefore brethren, who's he talking to? Christians, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Second here this morning, his blood has the power to transform. It is the blood of Jesus when applied to our lives that makes the chiefest, you know, the vilest of sinners and transforms them body, soul, and spirit into a new creature. Amen. Formed in the image of God's holiness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, it asks us, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Folks, I'm thankful we serve a living God. That tomb is empty. You know, Saul, we all know him, a murderer that tried to destroy the church of the living God. Well, he had an encounter with the power of that blood and was forever transformed into Paul, an apostle of Christ. How about thinking back to the cross and the thief on the cross had an encounter with the power of blood of Jesus and was transformed from that of a condemned man that was hanging there into a saint dwelling in paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it tells us here, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We should all know that there is no soul that is so gone that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ cannot transform their sinful nature into the desire for the holiness of God. By the way, look at your neighbor. Each one of you, look at your neighbor who's sitting next to you. You know what? They're a dirty, rotten sinner. That's right. Now everybody look up here and guess what? I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Pastor Riggs, maybe he left this week knowing I would have this message, but guess what? He's a dirty, rotten sinner. But each and every one of us, and for those who have already accepted Jesus Christ, you've been transformed. Each and every one of us, no matter the sin, can accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. Those sins being forgiven. The only pathway to heaven. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. The third this morning, really I should maybe put this as my final topic or point, but I didn't. Because you see, his blood has the power to give life. Has the power to give life. Blood is our source of life. It's our source of life. Without it coursing through our arteries and veins, life would cease in our physical bodies, would it not? Folks, you cannot survive without blood. Without the blood of Christ applied to our spirit, to our soul, we are bound for the certainty of the second death. And let me tell you, my friends, hell is real. And we are a church that is going to recognize that. There's two places that you can go. You can go to the street of gold where your mansion is, or you can go to the burning pit. Now you have to decide what path you would like to take. And remember, one path is broad, one path is narrow. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it reminds us of this. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, I pray here today that your name is written down in that book of life. That is my deepest prayer for you today. Life more abundant can only be found in the power of his blood. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. My fourth thought this morning is his blood has the power to heal and protect. Hey, believer, this part might be for you. You see, whenever a virus attacks our physical body and begins to make us sick, and this is the time of the year that this is happening, right? We're getting the sniffles, fist bump many of the students. I high five, and I'm starting to question that because there's a lot of sniffles and coughing going around there at the school. And then some of the teachers like to have that thermostat set at like 58, so I'm already freezing as it is. It all gets directed into my office, I think. But whenever a virus attacks our physical body and begins to make us sick, you know, our blood, it begins to fight with all that it has. Do you realize that? It begins to fight on our behalf, and it attacks this virus with those white blood cells. God created our body so uniquely, didn't he? And we still can't figure it all out. No matter how smart we think we are. When the enemy of your soul rises up against you, and my friends, he will. Maybe not this season, but you'll get a season of that. When the enemy of your soul rises up against you, you know, the blood of our Lord and Savior, it covers us like a shield. I get a chill down my back just thinking of it. It covers us like a shield, and the enemy that would destroy our soul, you know what? He's repealed. Why? Why do you say that? Because there is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There's so much power. You know, the little kids, they notice everything. I guess I've healed up. I always have nicks and bumps and bruises on my hands. We have a couple horses. We have some cattle, and I'm fixing fences and working and doing things. And those of us that work with our hands, we get cuts. Every winter, it's bound to happen. I'm going to have all that dried right here at the fingernails. My fingers are going to hurt for 5 months straight. I don't care how much lotion I put on. I don't care how much water I drink. It's just going to happen because I work with my hands, and many of you are like that. But you know, when your body suffers an injury like a cut, you know, your blood does this wonderful thing to protect you from infection. It does that when it forms a scab, right? And many times in this life that we live, we suffer from different kinds of attack upon our spirit. Some of you might be facing that here today. Maybe driving in this morning. You know, maybe a word that was said that cuts like a knife into the heart. By the way, I know the saying is sticks and stones may break our bones, but words won't hurt us or whatever. Let me tell you, words hurt much deeper. Be cautious of your words. Or a selfish act that almost destroys you emotionally. Or an attack from Satan upon your thought life, you know, messing with your mindset. And this is when the blood of Jesus wraps around your spirit and soul to protect and bring healing to the hurts of our lives. That's when you may need him. Oh, the wound may be tender for a while. Oh, it may leave a scar. But the blood of Jesus is always at work in the middle of the hurts of our life. You know, to bring protection and healing. Fifth here this morning is the blood has the power to deliver. It is the power of the blood of Jesus that breaks the yoke of bondage of sin from our lives. You know, he does not just forgive us and leave us in the grips of Satan. No, church, by the power of the blood of Christ, we experience freedom. Freedom from sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it advises us, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Whatever Satan has wrapped around your life, oh, Satan's working double time, triple time. You know what? He's getting paid pretty good for it, too. But whatever he's wrapped around your life and seems to be choking the very life out of you with, well, let me tell you, friends, the blood of Christ, it can break that. It can set you free, and not just to deliver, but to overcome. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look, I had you turn to each other. We all chuckled, but you're all dirty, rotten sinners. We may chuckle at that, but it's 100% truth. So am I. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until the death. Oh, get ready to say amen, because my last point. Amen. And we're really on track to get out early, so I need to slow down. Nobody wants to get to the steakhouse before those other groups of churches, do you? Huh? Y'all like sitting at Texas Roadhouse for 45 minutes waiting to get called, right? Sixth is, his blood is still powerful today. How come sometimes we think about his blood and we just think, well, that was 2,000 years ago? That was a long time ago. You know what? His blood is still powerful today, folks. I mean, today, right here, right now, his blood is still saving sinners. Still setting captives free. And I'll just put it right here. If you have not already, you too can experience this freedom. Well, we're going to have an invitation time, and if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not brought him into your heart, letting the Holy Spirit indwell inside you, then I beg of you to do that. Because church, his blood is still sufficient. Listen to this illustration. A family was involved in a serious accident. And Mike, the younger of two brothers, was badly injured. Mike there needed a blood transfusion. And Mike's big brother, Danny, who big brother was almost eight, was the perfect blood type. His father sat down with him, and I could just picture the dad sitting down with him and explaining that his little brother was going to die. But if Danny would give his little brother some blood, then Mike would be just fine. Now, picture an eight-year-old. You could just picture the gears working in that mind. And Danny sat there thinking for a while, and then he said, Okay, Dad, I will do this for my brother. And they took Danny into the operating room, and, you know, they hooked up the needle to his arm, and just imagine the blood from his body beginning to flow to his little brother. Everything had gone wonderfully. The nurse removed the needle from little Danny's arm, and Danny, with a tear in his eye, now think about this, a tear in his eye, looked at his father and said these words: "When do I die? When do I die?" It was then that the father suddenly realized with a shock. See, Danny had misunderstood his explanation of giving blood. Danny, that whole time laying there on that bed, thought that he was giving all his blood to save the life of his little brother. At 8 years old, thought that his whole body was going to be drained of his blood to save his brother's life. I have eight grandchildren, and I can imagine this being the case with a young mind. You know, he thought that he would die after the transfusion was over. Yet, he still had agreed to help his little brother. What love? What sacrifice? What a gift of life. What blood. But I'm going to ask you a question, and we're getting ready to close. Have you experienced the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb? See, as we prepare to close this morning, as we have been reminded here this morning, what love Jesus Christ had for us. What sacrifice as he hung from that cross and he died for you and me. What a gift that God provides us. Nowhere else can we get an everlasting gift such as that, the gift of eternal life. Oh, the power, wonder-working power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, there certainly is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. But I'm going to ask again, have you experienced the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb? I ask that every head be bowed. I ask that every eye be closed. No looking around. Be respectful of others. We'll be getting here some singing or some music in the background here. We're going to have our time of invitation. The altar is open, and I do pray that this message is maybe touch somebody's heart. Christian, this message was for you just as much as it was for an unbeliever. I do want you to realize and understand the altar is the holiest place within our church building. If you would, please stand, and as we're getting ready to have some singing and some invitational music. Won't you come?